Yo, it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's a blast deep into the night, and a two-run homer for Paez. And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Donna goes in motion left. Snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left. Angling, 25-20. Got a block for Brown. 50, 10, 5. Touchdown. Don't win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Trubisky's going to run it. And he is going to get a first down. How about Trubisky to the 42-yard line? Oh, my goodness.
In the ring, Steamboat's got him up. A slam. The player inside Cradlewood, too. He did it. Steamboat's leg buckled. And Flair has done it. Flair has done it.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Welcome in to Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Live from the First Midwest Bank studio, I'm Chris Black along with Jonathan Hood tonight. You can follow us on Twitter at TweetJHood and at Chris Black. We are here till 9 o'clock talking to you, taking your phone calls. We're open for business to have a conversation with you at 312-332-3776. Or you can get at us on Twitter. A lot to do tonight, Jonathan. In the 8 o'clock hour at 8:10, we will talk with Sean Powell from NBA.com. And Tim Anderson from the Chicago White Sox will join us at 8:30. But we will talk some Chicago Bulls basketball to start tonight.
Absolutely, because it is a Fred-free Friday. So we'll be able to get into some NBA and do it carefree without any problems.
Well, you know, I try and sneak it in usually on the Friday evening program. But, you know, yes, you're right. We can lead the show with it tonight. Yes, absolutely.
Well, it's got to feel good for you to be able to have that freedom to talk about the NBA without any resistance.
Well, the Bulls are about to face off against the Los Angeles Clippers tonight. The Bulls are 11-37 on the season. Mm-hmm. Currently, they have the fourth worst record in the association. The one thing that I kind of want to start things with you tonight, Jonathan, is the direction of the team and everything that's going on this season, whether or not it is actually a good thing for the future. I know that top draft pick is what we all want, but the way the losing is happening for the Chicago Bulls, are players being developed? Is a culture being set? And is this actually good for the long-term future of the team, the way things are going right now?
I think that if you are the Los Angeles Lakers before LeBron got there, even what's going on with New York with the Knicks and David Fizdale, because I think he could be a Pied Piper for the Knicks to get better. The difference between those two teams and this market and with the Chicago Bulls is that you can bring in whatever talent you want, whether that is actually allowing Melo to play a game in the Chicago Bulls uniform or being able to tank so bad that you have R.J. Barrett or Zion Williamson. It doesn't matter because the culture is still the same. And so there's some talk and some scuttlebutt on maybe the Bulls trading a couple of more of their assets to get even worse, to be able to get more draft picks. You can have as much talent as possible, but again, you got to figure out who's going to coach them. You got to be able to figure out what's your direction as a franchise. And so my whole disconnect with the Bulls is, and this is why I enjoy talking about other things around the NBA, it seems like I'm repeating myself because I'm right.
Yeah.
When it comes to the Bulls, because you have to be able to establish who you are before you can decide, I want this draft pick, I want this draft pick, I want to get this free agent. Because remember this, unless you're Sacramento, where the arrow's pointing up at this point in time, because things are working out for some of those draft picks, Chris, if you don't change the culture, you won't be able to be a destination where free agents will say, you know what, that's a good spot. I think I'll be able to play there. I think I should be able to hang my hat here. Around the league, through agents and through players, they know what's going on in Chicago. So until that culture changes, it's really nothing to talk about.
Well, you know what the million-dollar question is. It's if the Bulls are bad enough to get Zion Williamson with the first overall pick, does that actually change everything going forward? Right? Like, because the way I see it is, no matter how good Zion is in the NBA, he has to be LeBron-level good to actually get this team to where we all want the Chicago Bulls to be. Because if he's anything short of that, say he's the next Sean Kemp, guess what? You sure as hell ain't going to win an NBA title with the next Sean Kemp.
I saw somebody coming at you on Twitter about Sean Kemp. What did you think of that?
Well, no, like, Sean Kemp's a really good player when he was in his prime. And the Sonics did get to a finals. But listen, he didn't change the league like LeBron changed the league. He didn't take the Cavs to the point that the Sonic, you know, like, it's just totally different. And the point I'm making is that if Zion Williamson isn't going to save the franchise, then what are we really doing? And it goes back to what you said. The culture that's being set. Are the guys that are in place, is ownership doing everything they can to get this franchise in the right direction to succeed once you get that star player? And he better be a star player because, what, like you said, either Zion Williamson or R.J. Barrett, whoever you pick, you know, if R.J. Barrett isn't the next James Harden, what do you really have? You know what I mean? Like, right. Is he the next Swaggy P instead? And at that point, what are the Bulls, right? Like, and that's where it gets tricky, is because you could say all season long, I'm rooting for the losses because I want that number one pick. Yeah, but John Paxson will still be here.
Yep.
And Gar Forman will still be here. And the Reinsdorfs will still own this team. And that, like you said, with the culture, is the problem. Because no matter what they do to build it up, and no matter how great Zion Williamson is, we still have those three pieces still in place. The Reinsdorfs, Paxson, and Gar Forman. And I'm not sure if Bulls fans would be thrilled with that, knowing that maybe that top player that you get in the draft, maybe he isn't the next LeBron. If he's a little short, you might be in trouble.
I was looking forward to the Michael Reinsdorf administration when it comes to the Bulls, because you know how Jerry runs things. I mean, even all the way to the end, Jerry Krause was still trying to rekindle the Bulls and make them a championship team after Jordan, after Pippen, after Horace Grant, and all these other great players were gone from the team. So I thought Michael would look at it with a fresh set of eyes, but he seems to be as loyal as Jerry is. And nothing wrong with loyalty. But the thing is, though, is that you have to be able to strive for more. The number one thing when you're running an organization is try to be able to be a championship-level ball club. It starts by trying to win a championship. You can't get there, then be a perennial playoff team. You can't get there, then be able to be a place where free agents will say, I can come here because I know it's a solid organization. And just because within the building they believe they're a solid organization, that's not necessarily the case outside the west side of Chicago. That's the whole thing, man. You've got to be able to establish that culture. Now, look, Zion Williamson, R.J. Barrett, Ja Morant from Murray State.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's a terrific player as well. They're solid players. And I'm not saying that the Bulls are going to swing and miss on those guys. But listen, if you're in the top three in the draft, sure, you'd be able to get what I consider a sure thing. But who's going to coach that sure thing? Could you imagine Zion Williamson on this team with that coach?
No.
I mean, he'd take the air out of the ball and say, stop shooting threes.
Well,
he tried to put him underneath the rim like he's Kareem.
Well, how do you go from Coach K to Jim Boylan? Right? Because I think a lot of people would say NBA college, Coach K is one of the best coaches in all of basketball currently, right? Like, wouldn't you say he has the respect of LeBron James?
Sure.
And in college basketball, he always wins, right? He's a guy that went from having the annoying Dukies, right? The kids that would be there for 4 years slapping the floor, and then he transformed into the best one-and-done school in all the country, mm-hmm. outdoing what Calipari did at Kentucky. So, I mean, I see that being a problem, Jim Boylan going forward, because you're right. Zion Williamson, I don't know if he'd put up with it like Wendell Carter has put up with it so far to this point in the season.
Wendell Carter's the leader of the team. No one really knows it, though, because look at the quotes that you've seen. I'm just going to add up the quotes. Wendell Carter seems like he's the veteran on the team versus some of the actual veterans that don't want to talk and really talk about what's going on with this ball club. The other thing, too, Chris, is a nice piece by Darnell Mayberry from TheAthletic.com. Bulls trade deadline primer. Is Chris Dunn part of the plan? Now, we got to circle the date now, February 7th, not just for the Bulls, but for the NBA.
Yeah.
The trade deadline in the NBA. The Bulls could still be able to make a few moves here to try to get more draft picks. But again, if you're not, you've got to be able to hit at least a triple with a lot of these draft picks to make sure that you have the right, first of all, development, and two, the right players for, again, a question mark as far as a system. You don't even know what you're running in 2 years because you slid your assistant coach over to the head coaching spot where he's taking the air out of the ball offensively. There you go.
Yeah, and with Chris Dunn, and based on the piece from Mayberry, is you look at it, I'm not sure. I'm not sold on Chris Dunn being a point guard of the future. To me, if I had to make an assessment right now on his career progression or a projection, it would be that he is a really, really, really good backup point guard who's a defensive strong point guard who should be paired with someone who is a shoot-first, ball-handling shooting guard. I'm not sure if he's the guy you want running your team. You know, career stats, 8 points per game, 4 assists. You know, it's not fantastic. 31% from three for a career. You know, and you can dive into the numbers even more, but like when he's on the court, are they a winning team? And I think that's the one thing people get lost in the sauce with NBA stats a lot. They look at stats and they say, well, this guy's good because X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. Zach LaVine. This guy's good because this, that, and the other. Jabari Parker. Mm-hmm. You look at him on the court, and it doesn't match the stats because the team is always losing because they are not winning players. I think it goes into all of this. It's the lack of foresight by the organization to see this mix of players to be put together that it wasn't going to work. And the fact that you fire Hoiberg early before he gets everything back together, and then you put Jim Boylan in control, and it's really a questionable season when, I get it, you want to lose games. You just wish you were losing in the style that you wish you were playing when you're eventually going to win. Does that make sense?
No, it does not. No, it does not. But this is where you are when you are a bad organization. There are teams that have languished that's been around last place or always in the lottery every year. I'll give you an example of teams that really had a problem but yet were able to identify a culture and starting getting better. I'll give you right in the East. I'll give you the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect example.
Yep.
A lot of wheeling and dealing, a lot of bad deals. I mean, to the point where they couldn't make any deals because they couldn't get draft picks and they couldn't get free agents. But Brooklyn was able to change their fortunes. Right now, they're the number six seed in the Eastern Conference. Pretty solid. Yeah, that's when you change your culture. Same thing here with the Clippers. I'll give them a shout-out as well. Clippers thought that after Blake Griffin that they'd have to tank and go backwards. Clippers are coached well by Doc Rivers. That's who the Bulls are playing tonight. It's a team that still has some young parts with some veterans, but just some teams that just are not going to unplug it. They feel that they can build on what they have. And with Chicago, you know, it would not surprise me if the Knicks eventually get better and the Atlanta Hawks eventually get better in a couple of years over the Bulls, unless they determine who's going to coach the team and how the culture is going to be built.
Okay, that's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Bleck. This is ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 312-332-3776. You mentioned the Brooklyn Nets. D'Angelo Russell, when he was with the Lakers, was seen as a bad clubhouse guy. Mm-hmm. Bad teammate, right? All the stuff on social media, shooting first, all the stuff that he did, right? It's worked out pretty well for him, right?
Yes, it has.
It's all about culture. Let me play you these two sound bites. Zach LaVine yesterday asked if he's still buying what Jim Boylan is selling to the team. Here's the leader of the team. Here he is.
Got to. He's a coach. You know, we're going out there and we got to play. You know, I think, you know, above everything, we got to go out there and play for ourselves and you know, what we represent as well, because, you know, we're going out there getting blown out doesn't help any of our stock either. So, you know, we got to go out there and play together.
Did you hear the star of that, Jonathan?
Mm-hmm. Got to. He's a coach. You know, we're going
he got there. To because he's the coach. That's a ringing endorsement, right?
Right.
We go to the night before, after their last loss, Chris Dunn in the locker room. This is when he was asked if he's disappointed in the defensive effort from everyone on the team. Listen to what Chris Dunn says as his response.
Yeah, it's a team. We're a team. You know, there's five guys out there, and to have a good defense, everybody got to be, you know, on sync. Like, everybody got to be one, and we all got to know what we're doing. And, you know, in this league, one little mistake could lead to open shots, but when there's multiple mistakes, get easy buckets.
We five guys.
Yeah.
How's the culture? Your best defensive player is saying, "Yeah, Everett, you know, I'm cool. Everyone else needs to play better defense." Right? Like, what is that culture?
Yeah. See? This is what I'm talking about. But this is what happens when you don't do your due diligence as a general manager or as a vice president of basketball operations. Here's what I mean. Chris Dunn had a chip on his shoulder when he came to Chicago. I told you the story when I for my other gig at NBA Radio,
yeah,
when I talked to Chris Dunn when he was drafted. And I asked him, I said, you know, you did a great job at Providence. Where do you see yourself amongst the best point guards in this draft? And he said, I'm going to be the best point guard in the NBA, which is great. It's a great goal, right? I want to be the best point guard in the NBA. Goes to the Timberwolves. And Tom Thibodeau thinks, oh, you know what? You just don't guard enough, so I can't use you. And he was pissed. It was like, I want out of here because if you're not going to use me, trade me.
Right.
So just from that standpoint, if you have a disgruntled player, you're getting him on your roster, what do you expect? Because that was a winning culture that he was not a part of. He wanted out. He comes to the Bulls, and this is what you get. Now, listen, I love the bravado, but at the same time, if you are doing your due diligence as a GM, you realize what you have. This is the same thing with campaign, the same thing with Zach LaVine and anybody else on this roster. If you have a bad attitudinal player on your roster, you get what you deserve.
Okay, and then if you don't have the coach to set the right culture or to correct that attitude or what's going on, blaming other teammates for bad defense or your star player saying, yeah, I guess we kind of follow what he's saying, instead of having a head coach who's setting the tone for what you want to accomplish on the court, that's a problem going forward. Brian Windhorst was on Carmen and Yurko the other day, and he was asked, are you sure Boylan will be back with the Bulls next season? Here's Brian Windhorst and his response.
I'm not convinced of it, but I do think it's more likely than not.
What would prevent them from starting next season with Jim Boylan as their coach?
I mean, you know, it's impossible to know what happens with the lottery, possible trade things. You know, the Bulls gave him a contract that makes it very economical for them to keep him as a coach. And just being frank, when economy is available, the Bulls tend to go that direction, especially when they don't have a competitive team. Now, the people in the Bulls organization would scream about that, and I would say, well, yes, when you guys are competitive, you will pay, but in the times you're not, you know, they aren't known for going all out. So if they see an additional rebuilding season anyway, it's a way to get a guy, you know, give him more time on a really cheap contract to be their coach that they can see how it works out. And I'm not saying that would be the only determining factor, but if you disregard that, then you don't really know how the Bulls operate, and I know that you guys do.
So that's Brian Windhorst basically saying the only reason he thinks Jim Boylan will be around is because he's cheap. Isn't that what he basically said, if you had to summarize it in one sentence?
Yes.
And they're known for, in his words, and paraphrasing, as being a cheap organization, so that's why people around the league see it as, well, yeah, he'll probably be around because it's the least expensive way to go about it.
I personally, in my career, I don't care about perception, but I would never want to have the perception that I'm so cheap that I don't want to take the extra mile to make my organization better. Look, I'll be bad, and I'll lose, and I'll roll the dice trying to lose, but I would never want to run an organization which, when you see me come in the room, that guy didn't spend money. Right. That guy doesn't care. That guy continues to get sellouts, and he couldn't care less about what's going on with the organization or trying to get into the playoffs. I wouldn't want to. Like, I don't care about perception, but I wouldn't want that on my resume or the perception of, oh, look at Hood coming in the room. He never spends money. Screw that. I would have to do something to make sure that the perception of my organization through agents and through free agents is like, this guy will do whatever it takes to win.
Michael Wilbon was on with Waddle and Sylvie on Wednesday talking about Jim Boylan, the Bulls, the direction of the franchise. This is what Wilbon had to say.
First of all, it doesn't matter who the coach is when you're rebuilding and you need to hit the lottery big twice. It doesn't matter. That guy's not going to be there when you get rolling. If you get rolling,
that's true, Mike. But when you see Jim Boylan slowing things down and packing it in, that's not 2009. I mean, that you can't do that, can you?
No, you can't. No, you can't. He's not going to be there, or they won't be there, and they know that. So no matter what lip service they may pay publicly, Jim Boylan ain't going to be their coach. They're not going to get into contention
with
him or the team they got. They have to add the supernova. Every NBA team is like this. You can get lucky, you can draft him, he can turn into Antetokounmpo, okay? So you can have it happen that way.
Right.
And a few teams have had that happen. But usually you have to draft. You have to draft Kobe, or draft Michael, or draft Akeem, or draft LeBron.
Would you feel better, Michael, would you feel better about this team if they got the number one pick? Obviously, they got Zion Williamson, and they decided to say, Jim Boylan, we appreciate the effort you gave us, but we're going to hire Monty Williams, and we're going to head in this direction, and we're going
to... Yes, yes. And that's what they'll have to do. You guys got to stop paying so much attention to what executives say when they're not worth a damn, the team. You got to stop.
Well, I'm watching what they do, though. That's the problem.
What they do doesn't matter. Nothing matters with the Bulls except losing games until May 5th or whatever the lottery is. Does it matter?
That's Michael Wilbon. Ooh. I'm with Waddle and Sylvie. Not worth a damn because they don't do anything. I mean, Jonathan, when you look at, you know, Bill Simmons all week long has been pointing out with the Carmelo Anthony trade from Houston to Chicago that Jerry Reinsdorf, all he does is this is a tweet from Bill Simmons. Jerry Reinsdorf owns an NBA team in America's third biggest city. Never pays the luxury tax that he did when they were in contention, but what, once?
Yeah.
Okay, once. Just fact-checking the Bill Simmons tweet. And is always available to pocket the $75,000 to help out another team. Keep cashing those season ticket checks, Jerry. That's from one of the biggest voices in the NBA. And I get it that there might be some people that don't like Bill Simmons. He's got connections, and he knows what's going on in the league.
So someone listening to us right now is saying, okay, guys, then what's the answer? Well, here's the answer. The answer is that if you want to be able to change the culture, it has to happen for the guy that is the head coach. See, I've always contended that John Paxson really wants to coach the team, but does not have the testicular fortitude to do that because he knows his temperament and he knows that he probably get kicked out of every other game because he's so emotionally, so wants the Bulls to win, but doesn't know how to do it from that office. He probably knows how to do it from the sideline, but he just can't contain himself because he's such a competitor. So, and the same thing with Gar Forman, a former coach himself, but again, he'll never be able to be on the sideline again as a coach. So, you say, well, what's the answer? Well, the answer is to relinquish power to the head coach and allow him to actually coach the team. The last time they did that was with Tom Thibodeau. Tom Thibodeau would lock the door on Gar and Pax and be like, you know what? I got a game plan to take care of. I got to be able to get these guys. This is the roster you're giving me. So I'm going to run my offense through Joakim Noah. I'll do whatever I can to try to win the games. So that means that at the end of the season, you look at the coaches that are be looking for a head coaching job, like the Mike Browns,
mm-hmm.
like the Jerry Stackhouses, yep. who continues to move his way up through the G League with the Raptors, the Frank Vogels, the Monty Williams. Or how about this? If you really, really think that you're going to have a young team and you need a young coach to cultivate that young roster, maybe you should call Jay Wright and ask him, would he be interested in the NBA? See, it's one thing for us to bitch about it, but the other side of it is, there's answers.
Yeah.
Now, do you want to be able to do what's right and not have a guy like the guy that's in place as a head coach now?
Another name I would throw in there is Juwan Howard. He's an assistant coach with Miami Heat. There are tons of names across the league.
That's too perfect, right. Juwan Howard.
Right? You know, he'd come back home and you're right. Like, it all makes sense for everything that the organization wants to do, right? Because we got to sign Jabari Parker. Why? Oh, because he's from here. The thing, I agree, Jonathan, we can offer solutions. And it really does come down to, though, one thing. Whether or not ownership will ever get annoyed enough with what's going on to actually implement change. Mm-hmm. Because it's all like-minded think tank that goes on over there. There are no outside ideas. It's they think they know best and that they will fix it based on what they know best. It's never the Juwan Howard from a different organization to come in. When the guy did come in from a different spot, Tom Thibodeau, they didn't like what he brought to the table, right? There was a clash there. And that's what I think is so interesting about the whole setup, is that they only want to do what they do. They don't want help from others. You know, like, you hear about these geniuses who run these Fortune 500 companies, and they talk about being the reason they're the smartest person in the room, because they surround themselves with other smart people who may be smarter than them, and they're secure enough to allow that to happen. Do you think the Bulls as an organization are okay with that, to allow that to happen, to allow someone from the outside to come in and be the smartest person in the room?
No, because since the Jordan era, it's all about who gets the credit. Even going way back then, millennials, it goes back to before the championship era, as a matter of fact, of who drafted Michael Jordan and who should get the credit for the championship run. Should it be the front office or should it be the players? Instead of doing what the Warriors are doing, in which the Warriors are saying, we're all part of this. We all were able to put it together. The Bulls are always trying to figure out, well, who gets the credit? And to me, if you just allow the coach to coach, if you have a general manager that's going to think outside the box instead of trying to pinch pennies, now you got something.
And you said right there, when you win, everybody gets credit. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing I don't think they realize. That's Jonathan.
But when you lose, it's the head coach.
Yeah, sure. Head coach, each and every time, just move it along. That's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Bleck. This is Under the Hood on ESPN 1000. Coming up next, should the Bears sign Kareem Hunt when he's reinstated into the NFL? Talk about it next right here on ESPN 1000.
It's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Welcome back to Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I'm Chris Black along with Jonathan Hood. You can follow us on Twitter on at TweetJHood and at Chris Black. We are here till 9 o'clock. We're open for business and your phone calls at 312-332-3776. Jonathan, Kareem Hunt has been a hot topic across the National Football League, and especially in this city here in the city of Chicago, because the Bears are really the first team to openly acknowledge that they would consider even thinking about signing Kareem Hunt if he ever comes off the commissioner's exempt list. He's been placed there since November 30th after a video was surfaced of him pushing and kicking a woman in a hotel, and then he was cut by the Kansas City Chiefs. So, you know, Matt Nagy really dipped his toe in the Kareem Hunt waters conversation at the end of the season press conference, really talking about his personality and nothing about the football player, but just the person he knows in Kareem Hunt. And it seems like the Bears are the team that most people would say would be in the lead after his services once he comes off the list.
When I hear George McCaskey or when I hear Matt Nagy say we're not there yet, that opens the door.
Mm-hmm.
If they said it's something that we would consider right now, we haven't really thought about it. If you just close the door on that, then this is not a conversation. But when you say yet, that means that you are going to open the door and be a front runner and maybe have the possibility of having him on your roster. Here's the thing that's troublesome to me, and I'm never this black and white when it comes to certain issues in society or when it comes to sports, but I have no tolerance for domestic violence. And I'm all for second chances, but here's the difference, though. I believe that Kareem Hunt will play in the NFL again, but if I'm running an organization, someone else will have to have him. And I'm okay if I pass. And I don't, if he becomes the greatest running back that we've ever seen and I passed on him, that's okay. Because I have my morals and I have my beliefs. Hey, for some people, it's dogs. And for some people, it's children. And for some people, it's the homeless. Or for some people, it's other causes they pick up. For me, it's domestic violence. I have zero tolerance for it. And if he plays in the NFL again, that's fine. But just not for my organization. And because we've seen issues like this with the Bears before, they've been down this road before. They've been down this road with Ray McDonald. They've done this with Christian Peter. They've had sketchy players that had domestic violence pass on their roster. So this would not be a surprise if he becomes a Bear.
To me, looking at, I agree with you 100%. I think we're both aligned with our viewpoint on our favorite team and domestic violence. I wouldn't get involved. And I think the one thing I would kind of point out is, why are you so sure that your scouting department isn't good enough to go out and find the next Kareem Hunt? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not the last great running back to ever play in the NFL. It's okay if you don't sign him. Just find the next guy, right? I know there's a relationship there, but that's why I wouldn't throw my hat in the ring. And the other part of the whole thing is, it's like people say, well, he deserves a second chance.
Sure.
I agree. But that doesn't mean you have to play for the team that I root for or in the NFL at all. You know, like, that's, I think, the misunderstanding. He's a young guy. He's going to have a lot of his life after football, and most football players only play 3 to 4 years anyway. So it's not like his second chance is, well, he has to play football. He's more than welcome to get a job like the rest of us normal humans, right? Like, he's more than welcome to do that. He's more than welcome to be in society. We're not saying don't be an active member in the community. But I think the difference is, I wouldn't be comfortable with all the good vibes and everything that this organization's done in recent time. They've really changed their culture, and I just wouldn't get involved with it. Here is George McCaskey. Yesterday, he was with Waddle and Sylvie in studio in the First Midwest Bank studio here on State Street. And here's George McCaskey talking about the Bears, whether or not they would give Kareem Hunt or other players with his issues of domestic violence a second chance.
Well, I have to answer that question in generalities rather than specifics, because that particular player, he's not even eligible to sign with the team right now. And Ryan said it very well. We're not there yet. All Matt did was call a former player to have a non-football conversation with him. And I think that's an indication of the type of guy that Matt Nagy is. It's not all coach player for Matt. He sees these guys as people and wants to know that they're being successful in their personal lives as well. that particular individual, in my opinion, while he's ineligible to play, needs to address his personal life and get that in order. Now, getting back to generalities, I agree with Matt that there are times when people are entitled to second chances. The question is, again, speaking generally, the Bears view it as a privilege to have a player play for us. And we also consider it a privilege for the player to be a Chicago Bear.
Yep.
And that's the question. Do the facts and circumstances of a particular case merit that individual being given the privilege of being a Chicago Bear?
As far as Matt's relationship with said player, Vic Fangio had a relationship in the past, and that did not work out well. He recommended him, and then something happened with Ray McDonald.
Yes.
Does the history of that figure into what you may do in this particular case in general terms?
Not really, because like you said, every situation is different. You know, does the person deserve a second chance? It depends on that person's situation and the facts and circumstances of their situation.
So it sounds like the Bears are very cautious of this situation, but like you said, they didn't close the door.
No. And I don't blame George for what he's saying there. He's just parroting exactly what Matt Nagy said. So yeah. He's just going along because maybe he doesn't even know who this player is. I don't even think that McCaskey's seen the video. I don't think he has.
Right.
So I don't think he even. But here's the thing: ignorance is no excuse for not being able to do your due diligence to learn more about it before you start doing interviews across the city. Find out what is going on here. Now, here's the thing: because he's in this position, George McCaskey, he can do exactly what the coach said. You know, it was just a phone conversation, speaking generalities. That's cool. But just keep in mind that the same backlash the Cubs had for Chapman when he was here, Aroldis Chapman, the same thing will happen here if Hunt is with this football team. But it will only be fleeting, Chris. It'll only just be for a little bit. You know why? Because some of the fans are just like robotized sheep. If they can help us get the big W, then it's okay.
Yeah.
But again, my feeling about it is different from maybe somebody else because I have no tolerance for domestic violence. And others would be like, give him a second chance. Oh, he helped us win a game, so it's okay. No, but you still be his own old lady. That's still an issue, right? But for some, beat the old lady, it's not anything that means a lot to a lot of people. As long as you help my team win, then they will go lock and step with what an organization feels about the same thing.
And that's why you kind of see difference of opinion with Addison Russell. He helped the Cubs win a World Series, and now this comes out afterwards. Mm-hmm. So a Cub fan, are you torn with, well, he did such a great thing for us, and Chapman was there for the World Series, but he, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see it that way, but I understand how someone could see it that way. And you're right. That doesn't make it right. And I think there are a lot of people who just think that he's a really good running back and that could get the Bears to the Super Bowl. And I would like him on my team. The thing I would say is I don't know if they need a running back like that to get to the Super Bowl. They need a new kicker, which had some breaking news earlier today. Adam Schefter around about 4 hours ago tweeted the Bears signed former Tulsa kicker Redford Jones after trying him out earlier today. So Redford Jones will be a part of the mix competing with Cody Parkey as your Bears kicker next year.
You know, just the name sounds like he sucks.
Redford Jones.
It's not even real.
Off the post.
I'm Redford Jones.
It's actually a character from Mad Men.
I don't think there's any question about it.
Takes off the hat, puts it on the little hook when he walks in the door.
Hi, I'm Redford Jones.
Pours a scotch.
And I have steak for dinner. Redford Jones. Not even your real name. He better be an ass kicker. I know that for sure. Otherwise, I mean, that name sounds like he's been in, you know, witness protection in Boise someplace.
Redford Jones.
It's not real.
First name Redford, last name Jones.
If that's really your name.
It's made up. That's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Black here on ESPN 1000. Let's go on now to Brett in Willowbrook. He called 312-332-3776. Brett, what do you think about Kareem Hunt and the Chicago Bears? Would you like the Bears sign for them to sign him?
You know, I would. I think, you know, because what you were saying, people deserve a second chance. I mean, what he did was wrong. I'm not going to condone that. But Chris, my comment I wanted to say was I think you're kind of talking out of both sides of your mouth a bit. Like, you're saying how, you know, he can be a member of society. He's a young guy. He can work again and all that. what you're saying, just not in football. Like, that's his line of work. Like, if he gets a second chance, why can't the NFL hire him? Like, why would it be better if a law firm hired him or Walmart? Like, either he gets a second chance or he doesn't. Like, who are you to say what line of profession it's okay for him to get a job at? You know what I mean? So, like, if an NFL wants to give him a second chance, that's fine. Like, you know, I don't get what your point is on second chances are okay.
No, I can try and clarify. I appreciate the call, Brett. What I mean by that is the NFL, if you own your franchise and you want to do that, you're more than welcome to. I think the way I'm trying to explain is if it was my team, I wouldn't. That's what I'm saying. That's why if it was my team, my favorite team, my team, if I were the owner, I wouldn't go down that path. And I don't completely agree with the Walmart NFL player comparison. He's more than welcome to go work at Walmart. No one's stopping him.
Right.
It is his line of profession for probably the next 3 or 4 years. Let's be real. The NFL player isn't a career unless you're Tom Brady. You know what I'm saying? Like it's something that people achieve. They get to do it for a couple of years, and then they have to go find something to do with their lives. We work with 2 former NFL players here at the station. Their careers are radio hosts and TV personalities, John Yurkovich and Tom Waddle. You know what I'm saying? They played in the NFL for a long time, and they were awesome. But, like, I don't think it's quite the same as saying someone doesn't have a second chance at life and someone having a second chance at a privilege of playing in the NFL. George McCaskey said it's a privilege to play for the Bears and for the NFL.
No, I agree with him. And just to make sure it's very clear, I think that Kareem Hunt more than likely will be in the National Football League, because until the owners come together and say, you know, women should be respected a lot better, or players should not put themselves in this position, then players will always get the second chance. And I have a problem with that. He just wouldn't play for me. I want people to go to the USA Today and look up NFL arrests. There is, I don't know if you've ever seen this, Chris, there's an arrest database going back to 2000 with NFL player arrests. You would be surprised, mildly shocked, probably, mildly, of how the NFL used to legislate that type of situation, domestic violence. When you would hit your girl and it was found out, game suspension. Going back even further to like 2000, there was just fines and no suspension.
Yeah.
I mean, so still, women are still trying to figure out their voice and trying to figure out, like, when are we going to get respected as the girlfriend or wife of an NFL player when there is abuse and the guy is charged, and yet you're still, even with video, you're still not sure whether or not you want to put him on your team or not. You gotta consider all those things. It's just, to me, yes, he'll play again, no problem, just not for me.
Yeah, and I've got a tweet here from Johnny on Twitter, at Chris Bleck, and you can tweet Jonathan, at TweetJHood. Johnny points out, it wasn't domestic violence, nor was he charged with anything. That's all he wrote, but I understand what he's trying to say. It wasn't domestic violence because they weren't in a relationship. Yeah, I got that. He wasn't charged with anything. Yeah, I got that. It doesn't mean it's right. And I'm not here to try and find layers of what's right about hitting women and what's okay compared to true definition of domestic violence. It's not right. None of it. So don't tweet me with that. Don't call and say, well, you know, it was only a light kick to the shin. No, it's wrong. It's all wrong.
Do you understand what life is like in 2019? When you actually have video of a man kicking and pushing on a woman, but yet people try to find a fine line even in that. As long as he can run that rock and give me a Super Bowl, it's okay. That's how people look at it. I mean, the video's right there for everyone to see. You want that guy to wear your uniform even though that situation happened? There is no other side to that. Kareem, why did you do that? Well, she provoked me. Oh, so she provoked you so you can beat her up.
Right.
There's no other side.
There is no, that's okay. That's all right. Oh, you're not in a relationship? That's cool. Just go punch that lady in the face.
What? But some NFL teams will find that gray area, and this is where we are right now. Even that guy on Twitter trying to find the gray area of, well, I mean, there's this. He's beating on a woman. And you saw it on video. It's not enough for you, but this is where we are in 2019.
That should be end of story. All right. Peter, Todd, Chad, Marcel, Mario, you're all waiting. We'll talk to you at 312-332-3776. That's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Chris Black and Jonathan Hood, Under the Hood, right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. If you want to hang out with Jonathan and myself tomorrow, you can. You can watch us on ESPN Plus. We'll be on the TV broadcast of UIC hosting Oakland tomorrow at 3:12 at Credit Union One Arena. Or you can come on out and root on the Flames in person.
Yeah, it was the old UIC Pavilion, now the Credit Union One Arena. We did the game last night against Detroit. Boy, Antoine Davis, a terrific player, the son of Mike Davis, terrific player there. But UIC looking to continue to go well. Chris and I have been doing commentary with the Flames for a couple years here. And we're having fun, so we'll be out there tomorrow.
Yeah, looking for back-to-back wins. They're 4-4 in the Horizon League, looking to get over 500. And the Horizon League tournament not too far away, Jonathan. So we're in the thick of college basketball action. All right, so we're talking about Kareem Hunt and the Chicago Bears. If you are a Bears fan, and this is your favorite team, do you want the Bears to sign Kareem Hunt once he's eligible coming off of the commissioner's list from the NFL? It's a debate that I think a lot of people are having, maybe with their significant others, maybe with their best friends, maybe just personally trying to figure out, is this the type of guy I want to root for my favorite team? And, you know, it always boils down to trying to break down domestic violence, right? Jonathan and myself, we both think it's wrong, no matter what it is. Domestic violence, whether it's someone you live with, someone that you're dating, just a person, right?
Right.
It's just, it's wrong overall.
Well, I think that for someone that says, well, it's not domestic violence. Well, how about, okay, it's not technically domestic violence because they're not together. It's not his girlfriend. How about violence? You against violence? How about violence? How about that?
Does that sound better for people? Do they prefer the violence?
How about if it's not domestic violence, what about just being against violence against women? That work for you or no?
To be honest, when I just hear violence, that, to me, is more impactful. But violence against women, I agree, just as bad.
But here's the thing. What me talking about this with you and our listeners, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. What I'm telling you is that from my standpoint, again, for some of you, it's dogs. It's not even human beings. Some of you, it's animals. For some of you, it's people in your family or your friends. For me, it's I don't think that men should put their hands on women at all, period. And for those of you that turn a blind eye to it because you want that guy to give you the key save in a big game to help your team win the World Series, or that guy running the rock, second chance, fine. Just not for teams that I root for.
That's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Bleck. Let's go on out to the phones, 312-332-3776. Marcel at UIC joins the show. Marcel, you coming out to the game tomorrow?
If I can get some tickets, I'll come.
I think you know a couple of people that can get you tickets.
I got to make a couple of phone calls. I don't know if they work there anymore. But first and foremost, go Flames. Secondly,
go Flames.
I got to say this. I have to say this simply because I don't like the term domestic violence in this particular situation. That's flat out assault. If they weren't in a relationship, yeah, we know that. That's assault. Assault is wrong flat out. There's no okay. There's no any of that. Assault is assault, and it should be handled accordingly. Now, beyond that, I really, really, really want people to understand that not only is it a sport and you get the privilege to play in the NFL, but also it's a job. And if you get in trouble legally, you get removed from that job. And since this is a sport, since this is something that is affected by the city, because if I'm understanding correctly, don't we kind of, in a way, pay for them to play for this city? Don't we pay tickets or don't we buy tickets? So in a way, they're employed to us, right? So if we don't want them here, we don't have to buy tickets. So if this was me, you could go ahead, hire him. Hire him and I won't watch. Hire him and I won't buy tickets. Hire him and I won't buy merch. The whole thing is, if you're going to employ somebody to a team that I support financially, then I no longer support you financially. I don't agree with assault towards anyone, man or woman. If you put your hands on somebody and it's wrong, you're SOL. I don't know what else to tell you. But we got to stop calling it domestic violence simply because that's not the – I don't believe that that's the correct terminology. The correct terminology is flat-out assault.
All right.
I appreciate the call, Marcel. And, you know, I think he makes a good point because doesn't it feel like a lot of people use – domestic violence as a watered-down version to make it feel better for themselves to justify it?
Which is calling it what the police call it. Yeah, that's the reason why we say use the phrase, because the police call it that.
Right, but like that, people always try and skirt around all these little things. Oh, they weren't in a relationship. Oh, well, it was just a party, and he was drinking at the party, and he just got angry. You know, like all these little things. It's like, no, they're like, don't try and make it softer than it really is. It's a problem. Let's go on out to Chad in Crystal Lake. Chad, what do you think of the situation?
What's going on, guys? Appreciate it.
Hey, Chad.
Long-time listener, third or fourth time caller. What's up, Hoodie? You're the man, dude.
Thank you, brother.
I absolutely do not condone, don't want this to go on the wrong path, but I have to throw my angle on it. The NFL is a way for a lot of guys to get out of bad situations, right? I mean, it's painted as a picture of going on and doing something better with your life, gangs, bad environment at home, whatever. If Kareem Hunt was around something like that when he was a kid, it's not that severe to him. So I think you have to look at the situation. If he was raised where his dad put his hand on his mom a couple times a week, although I think he knows it's probably not right now, he doesn't really understand the severe circumstance that it could be. So I'm there with you. I think guys deserve second chances. I'm not saying this is the way to find it, but there's guys who come from bad backgrounds who are in a situation and they're throwing a lot of money. They are intended to grow up fast, and he's a stud running back. So I don't know, but for me, that may be worth merit because a lot of guys are thrust into stardom very quickly, regardless of their background. Part two, I think Nagy and the Bears organization knew what they were doing when they called him to discuss it. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chad. I think they were trying to get out there to test the waters and see how the public reacted to Nagy talking about it publicly.
Well, I mean, and for some, just remember the Chapman conversation. Remember when he came over to the Cubs? Just for a couple days, not sure how to feel. But once you saw Chapman get the save, once you start seeing the Cubs win, being part of a championship ball club, people just forgot about that story and put it behind them because he can help you win, and that's really all that counts for some. But for me, it's just different, and I just think that we should have more value in women, athletes and non-athletes, that you just can't put your hands on women, period. You should be able to have some repercussions. That's what I think.
Did you see what LeBron James did today on Instagram?
Did not.
He was calling out and communicating with a former teammate of his who plays for the Boston Celtics. What's going on with Kyrie and LeBron? We'll talk about it next.